It was amusing recently to read a quote by the former Arsenal manager Arsene Wenger. "Christmas is important, but Easter is decisive," he said. He was presumably speaking of the position of his team in the league at those two times, but it is also pretty good theology, even if unwittingly so in his case. Bishop Tom Wright, commenting on today's gospel reading, states, "Ask people around the world what they think the biggest day of the year is for Christians, and most will say Christmas. That's what our society has achieved, a romantic midwinter festival from which most of the things that really matter are carefully excluded. The true answer, and I wish the churches would find ways of making this clear, is Easter. This is the moment of new creation. If it hadn't been for Easter, nobody would ever have dreamt of celebrating Christmas." And that puts it very well. Christmas is an important event in our faith's journey, but Easter is its destination. Easter is why the Word became flesh. What we are celebrating today is newness, newness of life, a new quality of life and relationship, nothing less than a new creation itself. God's Son, his Word, is the one through whom he spoke creation into being. On the first day, let there be light, until on the sixth day, let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness. And then on the seventh day, his work complete, God rested. The Jewish people kept and still keep that last day of the week, Saturday, as the Sabbath. On Good Friday, the sixth day, Jesus completed his work on the cross for all humanity. And on Holy Saturday, the Sabbath, he rested in the tomb. But today, Easter Sunday, the first day of the week, the eighth day, we celebrate the resurrection, the first day of the new creation. It is why Christians keep Sunday as our holy day, the day on which everything changed, on which everything was made new. And as with the first creation, we hear God's word call out, Mary. At that moment, everything changed and was made new for her. Despair turned to hope, grief to joy. It has changed for us too. The Good Shepherd has now laid down his life for his sheep, and he has laid down for each separate sheep, whom he knows by name, and he calls each one of us by name. This joy is ours too. We have been called to new life in Christ through our baptisms, and the arrangement of the grave clothes in the tomb shows that it is a very new type of life. For when Lazarus came staggering out of the tomb, he had to be untied from his grave clothes, and Lazarus would die again. But when Peter and John discover our Lord's grave clothes, they are empty, but still lying in their original folds, untouched by human hands, yet no longer confining the crucified body of Jesus. It is as though he has simply evaporated out of them, a sign that death was unable to hold him. Jesus will not die again. He is risen to eternal life in his resurrection body. For John, it is enough, and he believes that new creation has begun, believes the world has turned the corner, out of its long winter and into spring at last. Death and sin have been defeated. We are being called to eternal life. Jesus' conversation with Mary also reveals that we are being called to a new quality relationship with God, made possible by what he has done for us. Until this point, Jesus has referred to his followers as disciples, servants, or friends. Now he describes them as my brothers. He has referred to God as the Father or my Father. Now he tells Mary, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Jesus' followers are being welcomed into a new world, one where they can know God the way Jesus knows God, and where they can be intimate children with the Heavenly Father. All this has been opened up to us by Easter, and it is lovely and wonderful and comforting to behold. But Jesus' followers are not called to be spectators. We are to be active followers. After calling Mary by name and assuring her of the new and intimate quality of relationship she now has with God, Jesus gives her some work to do. She is to go and tell the disciples, I have seen the Lord. The new quality of life we now enjoy must keep growing in us. And a sign of that will be our increasing willingness to make ourselves the servant of God and of others. God has work for us to do, both for our fellow Christians and in ministering to the wider world, in evangelism and in compassionate care. We probably all like the idea that the cross and resurrection have made it possible for us to be Jesus' brothers and sisters and to be children of God the Father. However, we need to remember that this also gives us a deeper relationship with our fellow believers, those of other denominations and cultures. The persecuted Christians around the world are now our brothers and sisters in Christ. There may be surprises and shocks in store for us, just as there were for St. Peter in today's reading from Acts. At the house of Cornelius, he learns that the new life blazing out from the empty tomb really is for all the world, even for people who are not like him. He has to learn that Jesus actually meant what he said when he told his followers to take the gospel out to all people. It is a lesson that we too have to regularly relearn. But when we do, then that new life grows a bit more in us. Our fellow Christians may be very different from us, but the Lord feeds us all from the same table. Perhaps as the risen life of Christ grows within us, we will feel a greater need to ensure that they have food to put on their own table. For us better off Western Christians, our growing relationship with the risen Christ will almost certainly need to challenge and change our relationship with our possessions, though this will, of course, be different for each one of us. Perhaps we may even be shocked by our own compassion and generosity. If so, it is a sign of the risen life of Christ growing within us. St. Paul writes, "As in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Adam was the one through whom the original creation was tarnished. Christ is the one who brings us new creation, new life, new hope. That is what we celebrate today. That is the heart of our faith. We are the Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Amen.